All right, Jake. It's done. It's over. It was never really on, but it's off now. That was a ass kicking, man. Initial thoughts on that quote unquote football game?
Initial thoughts are that it was over before it started, but then the Packers did the thing where the Packers aren't actually that serious.
Right.
And they let the Niners hang around time after time after time. And the Niners went, No,
we're good.
We're good. And here's the thing. It wasn't, even with the personnel they had, you felt like if they weren't making an insane amount of mistakes every damn drive, they could have theoretically, I don't think they would have pulled off a comeback, but you could theoretically see they were moving the ball okay. They started to get McCaffrey moving. They had a good drive, I think, coming out of the second half.
They did look gettable.
They looked gettable, even with that personnel. And you go, okay, go get them. And the Niners just never took advantage of that. And they had so many opportunities. I think that was at 9 penalties in their special teams. They had 3 penalties for north of 100 yards.
In a row.
And Pearsall like had a couple nice returns, and he was like, yeah, I felt good back there. Too bad none of them counted.
That's
by the way, I'm not sure he got targeted a single time. And
he didn't. He didn't.
He mentioned in his post game that, yeah, he wished he and Brandon
was
Allen.
Was he at the podium?
No, he did.
Okay,
a little...
good. I just wanted to make sure that I was writing on deadline, and I didn't care to hear anything anyone said. So
He was in the locker room, and he was like, "Yeah, it would have been nice if me and Brandon Allen could have had some reps, but I missed training camp." So we'll get it right. Which, again, it feels like Brock Purdy's not going to play next week. Which, not that it matters, because this thing is
cooked,
probably over. Even though numbers wise, they're actually not that far out. But it's over, right?
This was their magnum opus of suck. This was their soiree of suck. They just...
Nice.
Thank you. I literally wrote it down. I also have Thursday's games on. I think we're all going to be taking a nap around 1:30 when Dallas plays the Giants.
They love the Giants on national TV.
It's Bears Lions at 9:30. It's like, oh yeah, that's not bad. You know, you put that on the radio, you start cooking. Miami Green Bay at 5:20. Maybe it's interesting. Maybe it's not. Like that's a nice take it or leave it game in the evening. Like I have no problem.
That actually could be fun.
They've won three straight games, and they're both unserious football teams. And then Dallas and the New York Giants in the afternoon. Spend some time with your family. Go touch some grass. Do anything other than that. And by the way, 49ers and Buffalo Bills on Sunday Night Football.
It's actually a lovely time for group therapy, you know, or just everyone getting absolutely destroyed. Either way, you know, do what you want with your own time and with your own family. So,
okay, let's lean in on this. Brandon Allen looked okay. Like, all things considered, grading on the curve, it wasn't his fault.
I was impressed. I thought it would be way worse.
Went full Goodwill Hunting on him. They had 3 turnovers, one of which the game was already over, but like 3 turnovers, 9 penalties. Absolute. They dropped 2 interceptions. They had an interception taken away by penalty.
And they got an interception from Debo dropping the ball, which I will say, I am very, very hesitant to criticize players for like quitting anything of that nature. It did look like he pulled back a little bit. Like he did feel like a hit was coming and pulled back a little bit. Yes, on that play.
Well, I'm excited for his podcast because he didn't talk to the media after he had 1 reception, which came on a double reverse flea flicker. That's the only way to get Debo Samuel the ball these days. You have to go double reverse flea flicker. And ultimately, it was actually a hell of a play. That was the coolest play Kyle's called all year, but that's it. And they had a dig over the middle. Not that the game was actually in the balance, but it could have been more interesting.
And it could have made it interesting. They had opportunities. And about Debo not talking after the game.
Good.
Listen, I know media people love to make our profession more than it is,
right?
But it is part of it when you have a shitty game and a shitty season to just talk to media people. He's going to give a 2-minute interview anyway.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter, but do the professional thing of doing it. Every one of your other teammates is going through the annoying procedure of doing it. No one wants to talk after the game. And you're a captain. It's not great.
Son of a bitch got a C on his uniform. Stand up there and say it wasn't good enough from you. What's
give
good
two
enough
word
from
answers.
Team?
Who cares? Just do the thing.
Say no comment. Do your job. Do your job. Because I'll tell you what.
I don't care.
You sure as shit didn't do it on the football field. But you'll have time for your awful Bleacher Report podcast. And for anyone who's arguing, oh, you guys are just sour because of the media, trust me, we're not on this one. Absolutely
no,
happens
give an
plenty.
Answer anyway.
It's not a good look. It's frankly unprofessional, and it's unbecoming of a captain of a football team to not be able to stand up and be accountable for his play and the play of his team. Because ultimately, as a captain, you stand up as a spokesperson for the play of the team. This is, let's be very specific here. This is like, let's go into the Dieter knows way too much about sports that no one cares about angle. The reason that you have a captain in hockey is because that's the only player that should be, it's not police this way anymore, but right, should be allowed to talk to the referee. Now, an alternate captain can talk to the referee if the captain's not on the ice. That's the reason it's on the jersey, because it is an official designation for games. The NFL has it as some sort of, you know, stolen valor energy thing going on, is supporting the troops. But ultimately, that concept or that rooted idea should still be in play. If you're a captain of a team, and if Eric Branch or Grant Cohn or Jake Hutchinson or whomever who has a credential, who the NFL has vetted and found a straightforward photo so that you can get into their Skynet system this year, if they are allowing you in, and they're not allowing everybody in anymore, which good on them. They should have tackled that a long time ago. But if they let you into a locker room and you're a captain of the football team and you refuse to speak to the media, that's an embarrassment. I'm not going to go and pretend that it's something bigger than it is. Oh, cuttable offense, this and that. But right, I'm going to call it out in the moment. You should call it out in the moment. And the fans should feel like, I understand that the role of, you know, the fourth estate here is a lot smaller than it used to be. But ultimately, we're the people who, if we have one role left in this entire operation, it's to get people to talk in situations where they don't want to talk. That's all we have left. So when Deebo Samuel refuses to do it, when asked, fans should be upset because we weren't at, no one wants to talk to Deebo Samuel after that game on a personal level. No one wants to enjoy that, but.
Right. It's hard.
You have to.
It's hard.
That's the job. That's the job. It's our job. It's his job.
That's exactly it.
This is bad. This is bad leadership from Deebo Samuel. This is the first of what would have to be many, many steps. Many, many steps towards the locker room going totally haywire. This is one of those little things that just, okay, that's step one. There's got to be about four or five more big ones, but little insidious things that that show up that now when we get a couple weeks down the line, we'll go, you know, kind of did start with that. Just to quickly go to the chat here, Ian Sharp, didn't Jennings do the same? Jennings isn't a captain. Also, Jennings is an interesting cat in general. Like, he's out there. Let's just leave it at that. Like, Jennings was picking a fight after the game, which I'm glad that he takes it so personally. Like, that's cool. But, like, Jennings would get a lot of penalty minutes if we're sticking with hockey. Let's put it that way. Remember when Deebo said they were the best team in the league? Robbie 439. I don't remember that because I don't watch Debo's podcast. That's apparently the only spot that he would say something.
Yeah.
Is this true, Jake? Papa Jay coming in saying that Dable and Shane are out. Could they be Kyle and John replaced? I don't know. Can you look that up? Because while I answer Papa Jay's obviously tongue-in-cheek statement that they would be replacements, Dable's going to be a get for somebody.
No, I don't think Dable's been fired yet, but I think everybody around the Giants has been saying.
But, yeah. That's going to be an interesting one. I'm sure Belichick will fix it. This was ugly. This was bad. And I think what made it even worse, you alluded to it earlier, is that it didn't feel like it had to be this bad. It felt like this was the most extreme version of shoving your thumb up your ass you could have done. Whereas,
they didn't have to win. No one was expecting them to win. But when you're given this many opportunities, and in a game where the other team is coming in like, we're just going to win this, we're going to dominate you, and then they let you back in despite you getting torched in the first half, and it's still just 17-7, and you come out, you have like a good drive, and you have chances. You have many, many chances.
That was a nice touchdown drive by them.
The thing that you've done all season long, which is fundamental to who they are, which is a failure to execute. Just when they do execute, there's a penalty in key situations, just an unblocked rusher on the quarterback. It's just a lack of functioning that they've had all season long, which is why I was watching this game and they were in it. And I was like, all right, are you going to poke in? Are you there? You live? Like, right. What's going on? And no, of course they're not, because they haven't been all year. And they're just fundamentally dysfunctional in how they operate. And there's always that level of, oh, they could get there, right? When it works. Yeah. It looks great, but there's always a hold. There's always a false start. There's always a special teams error. There's always a missed block. It just, that's who they are. And so, the defense isn't good enough to hold up. And we'll talk about the defensive
line. We'll get into the defensive line here, because I want to make sure that we do a little bit of ass slaps here. Like, nothing we said before this game was incorrect. We told you exactly how this thing was going down. And I'm not trying to pretend as if we're the, like, this, we're not rocket scientists. I'm sure all of you saw it coming too. But, like, everything went this way. Everything. Jordan Love would be a fuck boy. He'd make it more interesting than he had to. But ultimately, they can't stop the run. They could not stop these receivers when Love actually locked in. The very high, the very low of Jordan Love. This entire team is the youngest in the NFL. They're volatile, but they're explosive. They're the best kind of volatile. They're the most exhausting kind of volatile. And this Niners offense, the only thing that I need to maybe eat some crow on is that Allen looked a little bit better, than I thought he would.
And for people,
and Kawapicha, yeah. Floyd did have 2 sacks today. He looked pretty good. And if he ends up with 10 sacks, those are the I can remember three counting of serious note. We'll see on that. But yes, Floyd had a great game. It meant so much, of course.
Right. And I will say, just on the Brandon Allen front, it's the thing of, and I texted you about it more as a sarcastic thing, but whenever there's a backup quarterback, everybody always wants the more interesting backup quarterback, because it's sort of like the Family Guy sketch where he goes to the timeshare office and he's like, I can give you a boat right now. Yeah. I'm not saying Brandon Allen's a boat. He's not a boat. I'm saying you can take a boat, or you can take what's in the mystery box.
It's the mystery box.
Josh Dobbs is the mystery box, which is anything could be in the mystery box.
It could be a boat.
Right. It could even be a boat, but it's probably not. And so Shanahan, I think, trusts his scheme to go, all right, Brandon Allen knows the scheme. And I will say, I have not been impressed by Brandon Allen in training camp or any of that. But there are times where I'm like, oh, that was a nice throw. That looked good.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a little bit of an arm on him, as I was saying before the game.
It's strange, though. He can rip it sometimes, and then other times it's a total duck. It's really weird. I think it's really like a step into it thing. I don't know.
It's really inconsistent.
I haven't been forced to watch his fundamentals or.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it, but I thought he was not the problem at all in this game. Not at all. Like it's not like that first drive.
His fumble was a great defensive play by the Packers. Jalen Moore's one bad snap in the entire game. By the way, the best offensive lineman today, your tackles. Congratulations.
I'll say it again. Colt McKivitz has been good this year.
Yes.
I know that sounds insane.
No, you're right.
But he's been good.
You're right.
I'm not saying he's been great. He's been good.
His interception was Deebo Samuel's. They should honestly find a way to get it into Deebo Samuel's stat. Like, that's an interception that counts against him.
And
there's a ball right here.
And he threw it in a way where he wasn't throwing Deebo. I mean, he had to throw it that way, but he wasn't throwing Deebo into the hit. It was like Deebo was going to take the shot in the back. I'm not saying I was. Yes, Robbie.
Yes.
The way that Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport had sent out tweets this morning. I'm not sure if everyone saw them.
Yes,
but it was
Brock is fine.
The tone was, Brock is fine. But on the off chance that he misses next week because he's not fine, which is actually a very likely, if not probable, maybe possibility. Yeah. Again, he's fine, but he's might probably, possibly, he's going to miss next week.
You could just tell when Kyle and John got up in the morning. That's because they were both up at around, I'd say, 5 a.m., 7 a.m. Over in Green Bay. That's when they got up, because that's when Schefter and Rappaport tweeted
and
out.
And then they said Trent Williams, they're optimistic.
Oh, they're feeling good about it. Yeah, they're feeling good about it. So, you know, glad that Kyle and John were able to get up and handle that.
By the way, Rappaport threw out there that Daniel Jones could be an option for the 49ers.
Well, not anymore. So, not after that performance, buddy. By the way, if we're going to do any Galaxy Brain stuff before we get into the nitty gritty, we should say that it's not the worst idea to bring in Daniel Jones now so that you have him next year. Because I think having Daniel Jones as a backup next year would be a very prudent thing to do. One man's opinion.
Sure. Pretty sad.
Well, I think that he has all of the Brandon Allen arm and all of the Josh Dobbs running. Imagine if you combine them into one quarterback who's not good, but like at least he has that skill set.
Sure. Fine.
Okay. So
just to read the Schefter tweet, yeah. It says 49ers believe Brock Purdy should be able to return next Sunday at Buffalo despite his shoulder soreness. And then he goes, Then again, I've never heard Adam Schefter write a sentence with that sort of typing dictation to it, whatever you want to call it. He goes, then again, they also thought he would be able to start today at Green Bay before he couldn't. Still, for the time being, there does not seem to be a high level of
concern. Oh, my God. How long must that text message to Schefter have been? He's like, I don't know. He's the one guy who's using Apple intelligence. He's right. Like, Siri, please summarize this long, ridiculous text.
And I think the reality is they were like, oh, well, Brock, we thought he was going to be fine, and then he didn't feel great. And it's a throwing shoulder injury.
He's got a thing in his throwing shoulder. I listened to the radio broadcast because the Tom Brady got, I can't unhear.
Tom was bad today. He was better.
That's a great
a couple
throw
weeks
there,
ago.
KB. That's really good. On third down, you want to throw the football, KB. You got to throw it.
At one point, I literally heard Tom Brady go, you got the four. This is what you want. You got the 40. He circled third and four on the telestrator. He just circled the third and four. He said, third and four, key situation. Circle third and four. And he was like, you got the 49ers. You got the Packers. You got football. You got Lambeau Field. This is what you want. Tom. We're all watching the game.
It's 27-7.
Brutal.
That's a great throw there by Brandon Allen, KB. He sees Debo Samuel over the middle, throws the ball to him. Debo gets the first. That's a great throw, right? You see George Kittle. Great block there, KB.
It's tough. And he's always like, he is always half yelling. It's a tough listen. But you
the
were
end
listening
of the first
to
quarter,
the
KB. That means we're going to go to commercial. KB, and we got to sell some ads, KB. So bad, man.
You're listening to the other broadcast, though.
I'm listening to the other broadcast, and I love listening to the radio broadcast, one, because I'm a company man, and two, because they are with the Niners, right? Like, Papa and Ryan, say what you will about them. They're on the plane. They're at practices. They get to watch everything. They're employees of the team. And at a certain point, they leak stuff out because they know more than we do, because they're around more than we are. And they are allowed to ask questions because there's this perceived sense of trust because they have a different badge than we do. But the way that Tim Ryan, who has a hard time holding back his real thoughts, talked about Purdy, I have a very hard time believing that some turkey and gravy is going to get that shoulder right. This sounds like it's a very real possibility. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm just saying don't be surprised when it does that they put his ass on IR. There's something in there that they can't quite figure out, and the only remedy is going to be rest. And ultimately, if you're resting him for two, you might as well rest him for the rest. No pun intended.
I mean, if you're cooked, you're cooked. Don't cook your quarterback if you're going to pay him.
You made an all-time call a couple of weeks, months ago, in fact, that this was all going to go down the exact same way. It's 2020 redo. In 2020, they were 5-6, heading to a nationally televised game against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills in week 13. And that's when their season ended.
The only difference here is they are not, you know, marooned in the state of Arizona. They get the lovely environs of Buffalo, New York.
Which Orchard Park.
Should be lovely, lovely to play in. I'm excited to watch a Niners play against the Bills in that environment, just because I love watching night games there. There's something so magical about any night game that the Bills play in Orchard Park. I just love it.
I disagree. This is again a time for me to bust out my hottest take, which is that all NFL games should be played in domes. It's ridiculous to have weather for a professional football game. There are millions and millions of dollars being wagered on each of these games. Fantasy football is a scourge that we all participate in gleefully. This is big billion-dollar businesses. Put a roof on it. What if the NBA had outdoor games? You know, like what? Here's how you know,
like when the when the Suns NCAA played basketball opens on an aircraft carrier.
That's right. What if all the games were like that? And you might say, well, baseball. Well, where else are you gonna? I guess you could play baseball indoors. And in fact, they did when they had the COVID year and everyone had to go play somewhere. They went to San Diego, Los Angeles, and a bunch of dome stadiums.
Let me put it to you this way.
You save the outdoor stuff for college. Let the collegiate atmosphere. Oh, it's snowing. How wonderful. What a time to be alive. It's raining. It's 40 mile per hour winds. Let the college kids deal with that. And by the way, you know, when things get serious and money gets involved in the college game, in the bowl games, none of them are played in weather. They're all played in domes or in Miami. Isn't that funny how that happens?
Whatever.
Yeah. Just because I'm right.
I don't want controlled conditions.
I do.
Chaos.
Yeah. Clearly anarchist. So, speaking
of anarchy, wanted with Josh Dobbs.
They weren't right and they weren't wrong. You know, would it have been more fun? Sure.
It's you know what it is? It goes back to the NFC Championship game where Brock destroyed his elbow and the 49ers ran out of quarterbacks. And instead of like running the triple option with McCaffrey or something, they just had Brock hand it off, or they had Brock hand it off for a little bit.
Saddest game.
Yeah.
How's this come back to it? They're just like, that will never happen again. We'll make sure we have just a shit.
I'm just saying, let Juice throw the ball. Who cares? It does not matter. Do something fun.
It's interesting that Kyle busted out some of the coolest plays of the year in this game.
Yeah.
I was under the impression that he wouldn't try to do cool shit unless cool players were present. Let's go in on this. We went in on Debo and the post game stuff. Let's go in on Debo the player, because it's over. It's washed. It's kaput. It's done. I will grant you three truths. One, that was a bullshit call on Saubert. That was a pancake block. That was not holding. Debo should have had an absolutely massive return.
It was a great sell by whoever was in on that play, who's just getting blocked and went, I can't get him.
So I grant that. I grant that the Renardo Green PI was also BS. Now, Green had an abysmal football game. We got to be clear about that as well. But that was a BS call against him. And
yeah.
And ultimately, the Niners were in it. And this is the third thing I'll say. It didn't matter what happened there, because the Niners aren't winning. It not even on some cosmic plane. Even if those things work out, great. Debo has this great return. Enjoy your Jake Moody field goal. Oh, Renardo Green doesn't have a PI there. It's just 3 points instead of seven. Like, this is not fundamentally changing the tenor of the game. They got their ass kicked up, down, left, and sideways, and it started in the run game, right?
I mean, Josh Jacobs just, he murdered them.
Matt LaFleur murdered them.
That was
simple
sick.
JV shit, right? You might say, oh, that was such a cool thing. But this is as simple as, we're going to run orbit motion into the backfield, something we see Kyle has done many, many times, right? He'll do it with everybody. He'll mostly does it with Debo. But we're going to do orbit motion into the backfield with Reed. Okay, because he's a viable
runner. And they did it different ways. They did return motion with the tight end sometimes. Either way, they would get some sort of motion going to create flow, usually with Campbell,
right,
and or Winters, to get the linebackers flowing one way.
And then they would run a draw play where Jordan Love did a little pirouette, do a little spin for me, baby.
Yep.
And would then hand it off after his little spin. And by that point, the 49ers defensive tackles had already jumped past the play, but had maintained their, gap alignment.
What they do almost every time is they cut outside and they like rip and get up field, because their whole identity and whole philosophy on defensive line is to get up field. So the Packers went, okay,
cool, do that,
do it. And then you're out of the play, and then we can double team. We can get second level and get to your linebackers. And even if we don't block it perfectly, Josh Jacobs is a maniac and is going to destroy you. And we're going to do it again and again and again. And you're not going to adjust because you don't have the guys, and you maybe don't have the guys to scheme it.
Josh Jacobs broke 15 tackles today.
Is that a lot, Dieter?
It's not a few.
There was one play in particular in the backfield where it should have been a 3-yard loss. You know who it looked a lot like?
Who's that?
Deebo Samuel from about 2 years ago.
What a time.
Where Deebo would get in horrible situations, and then he'd break two or three tackles and turn a loss into a gain. And Josh Jacobs was doing that to the Niners all day today.
So there is your first sign that this team just got absolutely worked over schematically. Now let's go to a little drive that happened in the second half. This happened right around. This would have been with 7:25 to go in the second quarter. The Packers are on the San Francisco 10. Things aren't going great for them so far. They're down at this point 10-0. Green Bay is driving again. And, they got it. They got a lifeline. Malik Mustafa intercepts a pass in the end zone, but Jordan Love thought it was a dead play, so he kind of threw up the whatever.
Yeah, it was a dead play, yeah.
They go up and look at it, and they say 12 men on the field. Now, I'm not sure if it actually was 12 men on the field, because I don't know who it was. I think it might have been the meatball was jumping.
I thought it was like Campbell coming off the field.
Oh, that, you know what? You're right. It was Campbell. And Campbell did jump, which you have to have your feet on the ground. They still call it. I'm not saying they're wrong.
He was on the field. It was 12 men. But they also had an illegal motion or something, so it reset. Yeah.
It was an illegal shift. So you now, by having 12 men on the field, have negated an interception. And then you huddle up. And by the way, the refs huddled up. Everyone just took about 5. You know, go have a smoke. We'll meet back here. We'll do this play again. And what happened? They came back out with 12 men on the field. Hutch, I'm not one to call for the head of anybody in particular. This is a hard, I'm sure being a defensive coordinator is a very, very hard job. I had been looking for a sign on if Nick Sorensen was good at this or not. And I wanted to provide plenty of deference to the fact that he doesn't have the same players that he did. And you have to play Devondre Campbell because D. Winters is no better, and you don't have a good defensive line. And your scheme is fundamentally flawed on the defensive line. And everyone knows how to beat it now. But you have this nice young secondary, and oh, okay, there's something there. I was looking for a sign. There it is. 12 men on the field after 12 men on the field. I know that might be simplistic, but you're probably not very good at this if that can happen.
The most damning part of it is Kyle's explanation, where he's like, on the first one, they didn't let us sub. And he's like, that was unreasonable. They should have let us sub. And then they go, what about the second one? He goes, well, they tried to do the same thing, and then they did let us sub, and then we still had 12 out there. So that was on us.
That's right. That's right.
That's incompetent.
It is strictly incompetent.
Back to back?
It's one thing if you are schematically deficient. Okay, because scheme and players can sometimes get confusing, right? The argument is, oh, you need to blitz more. Well, you shouldn't blitz more. You're a shitty team at blitzing. There's nothing
they
you can do.
They did get one home. They got one home.
But I'm saying, like, when you have bad players, there's not a lot you can do schematically to fix it. I know everyone thinks that that's possible. I guarantee you it's not. There is a certain level of, you know, to go back to the Nick first.
The Cardinals are doing okay.
Not today. And so... No. By the way, the Kyler downturn. It's him and Cliff.
Yeah.
So regardless, that's a sign. That's a big no bueno. And I'm looking at what's happening in Chicago, and I think that Matt Eberflus would be a pretty good option as defensive coordinator next year, because it's wildly obvious now that we knew that that they needed a new special teams coordinator today. Perfect example as to why. Can't happen. I know that one of those penalties was bullshit. Can't happen. And it was to the point where some of these penalties were not the ones that initially the radio broadcast thought were going to be called. There were multiple fouls on the play. Only one of them got caught. Okay, so gone. Bring back Richard Hightower. I don't even know. Okay?
Oh, God.
No, I'm just saying. Just saying. That you got to shift that.
I did see a close-up on Richard Hightower before the Bears kicked a field goal, and I was like, hey, buddy, how you doing?
Wow, what a man. So special teams gone, defensive coordinator gone. Sorry, let's loop it back here with Papa J. So we have shitty players, therefore we shouldn't blitz ever. Never said you shouldn't blitz ever. I'm just saying that blitzing now puts shitty players in very precarious situations more frequently. There is a time and a place, to be sure, and I think that actually he's done it, but this idea of just blitz, 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 that's a way to lose a game by 50.
I think the reality, too, is coaches, you ask them, you know, how are teams going to adapt? And good teams are adapt and change their game plans, and like they'll throw more man at the 49ers and stuff right. like that. But teams are fundamental in their philosophies, right? And the 49ers' philosophy is not to blitz a lot. It has never been to blitz a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Steve Wilkes got a little creative with some stuff. It didn't end well for him. And so their thing is to play coverage. And, you know, sometimes they had a couple simulated pressures and they have a couple blitzes. But their identity is not to go Brian Flores. And it never will be.
Right.
And you can criticize that all you want. I'm just telling you, that's what their approach is. And for them to suddenly just start throwing the house, it's not going to happen. That's just not what they do.
There's also a fundamental thing that they want to do, which is they know that their scheme is on the defensive line is deficient in stopping the run. So how do you protect against that? You play a lot of zone behind it, so that everyone has their eyes in the backfield, and that allows your defense to swarm when it has the physical ability to swarm. So if you're blitzing, you're in a lot of man. That's a lot of backs to the backfield, and you're already susceptible to the draw, as we saw again and again and again, against zone, right? So think about how many yards they were getting against zone when everyone was looking at it, because they were able to get to second level blocks, because they were able to move linebackers out of gaps with just a simple orbit motion. Like your scheme, and this is not to say that, you know, I do think they need to shift it up, or at least have some changes, or at least some versatility on the defensive front. I don't want to see wide nine every snap. I'd like to see you tighten up your splits a little bit. I'd like to see some more straight rushes, all these things. But all defenses have holes. All defenses are gettable. This is the curse right. of defense. You can't put together a perfect scheme. Now, you can have something close to perfect players, and even they are going to be able to get got. Even if you're covering a perfect zone, there are gaps in the zone. Even if you have man-to-man beaters out of your mind, well, guess what? Now you have to find a guy to spy the quarterbacks. Now you don't get to have any safeties. Yeah. It's all these things. There's always a flaw. There's always a flaw in an offense, right? So the Niners have, I think there was a good meeting many, many years ago that came up with their identity and how they wanted to play. And they want to really get after the quarterback in the pass game. How do you do that? Wide splits, insane burst through gaps, gap splitting defensive line.
Right.
The trade-off there is that you're going to suck against the run. So how do you protect against that? Because you have to be able to stop the run in the NFL. Not that they did it today, but in theory, you need to be able to stop the run if you want to have any modicum of defensive success. You play a lot of zone behind it. You keep all the eyes in the backfield, and it allows you. Yeah, you might get burned on PA every now and again, but especially in this spread offense system where PA isn't as extreme, it's not as much eye candy as it used to be, you're in a good position. A lot of people in the comments section asking about Fred Warner and what happened. Told you guys this week, twisted his ankle September 29th. Hasn't been the same player since. And also every team knows that they don't have to worry about 59 or 53. So you just go right at Fred Warner again and again and again. You get second level blocks on him, and he's not the same player, not the same explosiveness he used to have. So that's where I stand on that.
Yeah.
Any disagreement?
No, I'm with you. I think he is being targeted and by defensive or offensive coordinators because he's, especially without Bosa, it's him. It's him, and he has to do so much organization, and the other guys around him simply don't hold up. And if you get him one-on-one, or if you have a skill guy who gets a shot at Devondre Campbell or anyone else, you like those odds. You know, I will say I thought Jair Brown had a pretty good start to the game. Malik Mustafa had a nice hit. Those guys are encouraging. Green didn't have a good game at all, but he did have a nice breakup. I think on the tape it'll be probably a little bit kinder to him, but he did have some bad misses, and Romeo Dobbs shook him out of his shoes a couple times. That happens. Romeo Dobbs also underrated, but point
they
is,
they have so many good linebackers, or I'm sorry, wide receivers. They're so good.
Yeah, and so you know there's some optimism with their young guys in the secondary, but that's where we're going. That's where the season's headed, right? Their season's headed to what can these young guys prove, and how can we use them next year? Because this is not going anywhere. And
no, the window of contention for this base probably shouldn't have been extended by this year. Easy to say that in hindsight. Unquestionable in the current moment. I mean,
yeah, I think
Debo Samuel is the poster child for it.
I think it's heading towards you lose to the Bills. The thing is, you know, the really sad thing is it's not like they have an option to just play all the young guys, right? Because they don't have enough in the pipeline. They're already playing them. They're all playing. The only option you have is to try like Drake Nugent at center. Like do something. We all know how you feel about it. I'm just saying that's where they are, where they have to keep trying because it's not like they can really, I mean, they can tank and that would, I think, end up being a net positive for them because I don't believe they're going anywhere.
That's hard. That's a very difficult thing to do culturally. They might tank without having to try to tank.
I don't think they ever would. I think that's where they're headed. And it's possible they could lose. I don't think they're going to lose out, but it's a tough, tough slog.
Would it be advantageous for them? I think at this point, we all agree it'd be most advantageous for them to never win again for the draft pick. That's, correct, of course, not going to happen just on the principle of pride and things. I really don't think that this is so off the rails as to where they'll never win again. But would it be advantageous for them to win against Chicago as to at least ensure that Eberflus has a better shot at hitting the market? Because I've watched the last two Bears games.
Well, no, you want to lose against Chicago because you're competing for them with draft order.
Wow, that's 6.5-1 does.
He's probably going to go anyway.
He's probably going to go anywhere. By the way, Ben Johnson to Chicago is something that I've heard now a couple of times, and not like in a speculative way, like in a that was the job he was waiting for last year and it never came available, and that he figured that it would become available. And after watching Caleb today, holy shit, if that happens. That would be very, very interesting. Yes. So just another team in the NFC to have to worry about. Speaking of offensive coordinators, Karen and many others have suggested Kyle getting an OC. I disagree with this on premise, right? To just strictly use Kyle having an offensive coordinator who I presume based on the line of questioning would be calling plays. I don't agree with. He has had offensive coordinators before. Mike McDaniel was an offensive coordinator.
Or he was run game coordinator. He
gave him a coordinator title. They have a coordinator title now in many cases. This comes back to the brain drain situation. Yeah, you think about something.
That was the first thing I thought of. That was the first thing I thought of is asking Kyle about that this week, which there's no, you know,
you're going to have to spend a week figuring out the tactful way to bring up.
Well, I'm not going to end up being down there this week because folks, I'll be hosting some shows.
Hey, now, looking forward to that. And you can plug those at the end after we sign off. No, because it's a KMBR only situation here.
Nope, that's not right.
Okay, so regardless, I think the ideal situation is one like they have in Kansas City, right? And this is not very dissimilar from what Kyle has done in the past, which is you have a defensive coordinator that is the head coach of the defense, and Kyle just gets to say, deal with it. I have full faith in you. You're the man. and no one's going to hire you to be a head coach anywhere. So, like, let's do this thing. Eberflus, Salah, all these spots. By the way, in terms of Salah coming back, I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bet on it. I think Salah's smart enough to know that the cupboard is pretty bare, save for the secondary, and that he'll have many good offers.
It's also
he's getting paid a shit ton of money. Doesn't have to
fundamental human perspective. Isn't it fun to try something new rather than return to your old surroundings?
I wouldn't be shocked if whoever becomes the next Giants head coach, if they do indeed have another head coach, if they hired Salah, like he probably doesn't want to move his family again, you know. Or maybe he does. Maybe he wants to get
back to New York for revenge. I mean, I don't know if you want to deal with that media.
I'm just saying they're on the East Coast now. I'd imagine that he probably looks East Coast, all things considered. But this is me, total speculation. as it pertains to offensive coordinator, the way that Andy Reid does it is Matt Nagy is the offensive coordinator there, former Bears head coach. And Nagy will call a lot of plays. I would say like 30, 40% of the plays. Andy is, of course, part of those. They're standing right next to each other a lot. Like, he's part of those conversations, but Nagy will have the communication into the helmet during those plays. So, and I think he has the full-time communication into the helmet. So Andy will call a play. Nagy will repeat it to Mahomes, but Nagy also has autonomy to call plays himself. Kyle will not do that for a long time, but he certainly needs somebody on this staff that we could at least realistically say could do that. And right now he doesn't have that guy.
I do fundamentally think there is too much on his plate. And also, I'm not sure he's someone that will ever have enough intention with special teams for that to be something that he can really, I know he's in all those meetings. I'm not saying he's not paying attention. I know he is, but special teams has never been an interesting subject for him. And so that's something where I think you need a special teams kind of lifer. You bring that in. But I do think he is missing monumentally a lot of those guys that he had in the pipeline from Washington. And that shared knowledge is something that was so valuable for him in a way that's like, sure, these guys have spent years with you, whatever, whatever. But really, like, when they evolve, and I've talked to them, and I've written two big stories in the Super Bowl in 2019 and last year, I've talked to these guys, and the way it evolves is that, you know, they have these huge meetings, and they do these projects in the offseason, and they investigate things, and they investigate trends, and they see, what can we come up with? How can we change motion? You know, and they've done different little backfield motion. It just hasn't made much of a difference because they're so dysfunctional elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But they look at what works, how they expect defenses to evolve, and watch film around the league. And when they're solving those problems, Kyle would be able to go to a McDaniel or a Bobby Slowick or a few other guys that they've lost.
Clint Kubiak.
And just ask them, what did we do back in, you know, in Washington? How did we solve for this problem? That's not necessarily the same problem, but it's a similar thing.
Cyclical and stuff.
Yes. And it's just it's like being able to ask a friend who you're creative with or something that you just have a shared knowledge base with. It's a much easier conversation to say, what was that song we used to listen to? Whatever it is, it's so much easier. And when you have to teach and you have to go back and use those as examples, and you probably wish you could just call those guys and say, what was that play? I'm not saying it fundamentally ruins you, but it makes it a lot harder to innovate because you're teaching back some of the basic stuff and you're trying to evolve while doing that is a lot harder. And I think that's part of what's going on.
I mean, the Niners don't have any roster depth. That's not new. They don't have any coaching depth right now. They really don't. It is very, very difficult to continuously find new people to fill the holes of people who are getting promoted to bigger and better jobs. It is so difficult, especially too, when you are constantly playing deep into January or February, right? All of those hires for young people, those sort of peripheral hires that you don't think about, you have time to think about it when your season ends in the first weekend of January, second weekend of January. Like, when you're playing in the playoffs, you don't have time for that stuff. and you get caught behind again and again and again because more goes out than you can bring in, and you're too late in the cycle to bring in the best of the best. And this is why, in a weird, twisted way, I'm not an optimist. No one's ever accused me of being one, but in a weird, twisted way, there is something beneficial to this season just going straight to hell right now. In that, you can get a full hard reset. That is a daunting challenge. Don't get me wrong, because you need to redo both your offensive and defensive lines in the course of one offseason with one draft and one bit of free agency in which you don't have a lot of money to work with. And you're probably going to have to use some of that money to get rid of Deebo Samuel because it's over. It's done. You got to get rid of him. So that's $10 million on the books for a player that you can't have anymore. You don't know when Brandon Ayuk's coming back next year, correct, given the state of the injury. You have a lot of holes to fill. We have ample time ourselves to get into all of those things. But you have a monumental task roster-wise this upcoming offseason. And luckily, you have some ammunition to deal with it. You're not the Saints, so that's a positive. But ultimately, you also have to do that with your coaching staff. I think that it is beyond question now that you need a new coordinator for defense, special teams, and you need a clear new number two on offense. Because Clay Kubiak, I'm sure he's a lovely guy. At a certain point, the apple has started to fall a little bit from the tree. Like, you can only go through so many Kubiaks before you find somebody who isn't a quote-unquote genius. I know that Clay called plays in the preseason. Kyle said he didn't let him call anything interesting. Can't blame the guy. I'm not sure why Clay Kubiak would be the exception to the rule that Kyle has had repeatedly, which is, I'm the man, I call the shots, and everyone else is my counsel. And if Clay Kubiak is the last counsel remaining outside of Chris Forster, that's a real issue for me. Robbie 439,
No,
he's not getting, no one will trade anything for Deebo Samuel. Full stop. The contract that they gave Deebo Samuel in August or early September as to facilitate the extensions for Ayuk and Trent Williams will go down as one of the worst bits of business that the 49ers had done since they gave Christian McCaffrey $19 million a year, apparently without a physical. They had just a howler of an offseason fiscally. Absolutely brutal go around in free agency in and of itself. Spent $50 million combined on Yetur Gross-Matos, Leonard Floyd, Jordan Elliott. Great job, everybody. But hey, George Odom got a big pay raise. Nice hold by George Odom today. Not sure what he does.
Yeah, like Debo's base salary next year is $16.6 million.
If you cut Deebo after June 1, you can save like $7 million. But you're now getting $10 million on the books for the next 2 years. It's a lot like the amnesty clause in the NBA. Like, you really don't want to have to use the post June 1 designation every year, because now you just have a shit ton of money dead on your cap, and it's not as if it's 1 year and now you're golden. It's the way that they structure their contracts with all these void years. You eat it for several years down the line, so they're in a pickle. It's not irrevocable, and it's not unfixable, but they're
okay. They can get out of some of the stuff, but they are still pot committed with a lot of old guys, and you get into a situation where it's like, all right, the fundamental question is Brock the guy, yes or no? Before you answer anything else, is that you answer that. You say yes, okay. The cost is $60 million a year. Everything else gets funneled in off of that, and you just have to see if you can draft.
That's not a thing. Sorry.
That's not accurate.
Just wanted to make sure that we
line
of thought.
Was true. Yeah. Sam Darnold just costs like 15 or something.
No, Sam costs like 11 last year, I think. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, this is where we're at. This is where we're at. We're trying to break down Deebo Samuel's contract and how to get rid of it. They doubled down on this year's core or on last year's core in an idea that they just needed one more shot at the thing. And it was pretty, it's pretty evident now, as it was evident in August when they had all of the zeal of a 12-year-old golden retriever. Just the malaise of this team from the jump. Brutal. But they're like, nope, we believe in this core. We're ready to go. We can do it. We can eke out one more year of incredible contention from this squad. And they were wrong. Could have told them in the moment, understand why they did it. They were wrong. And now they have to pay the piper on not just Debo's contract, but Ayuk's contract to a degree. By the way, Ayuk's contract looks like the best one of the four.
Yeah, that one's his is honestly fine.
McCaffrey's contract, 3 years. Trent's contract, yeah.
It's like 3 years, and then you see where you're at with it. Trent, so next year, here's where it's at. You got Trent. You probably just eat it with Charvarius Ward unless you want to do an extension for some reason because his dead cap is $12.3 million, whether you have him or not. So
the void year is $12 million.
Yeah, he's gonna cost $12 million to not play for you. So you could argue double down. I don't know.
You might as well.
Like, I don't.
It's kind of like with Debo, right? Like you're paying him $10 million to go away. Like shit, you might as well just pay him. Yeah, another six to hang around, and maybe he can do something.
Trent counts for 22, Ward counts for 12.3, Bosa counts for 20, Warner for 30, Debo for 15 or 16, really, Kittle for 22, Hargrave, well, I think that's just a cut, but these are just the numbers, and then you've got...
How many, you get to do a post-June 1 for one guy, right?
Two guys.
Two? Oh boy, they're gonna have a hard time figuring out which two.
I think it's two.
No, that sounds right.
It's either two, or you can designate in advance two guys.
Trust me.
It might be more.
By the time we get into the knit, we'll know. We're going to make the CBA our bitch this offseason.
Well, they keep doing the option bonuses, and it's pissing me off.
It does make it complicated.
It has made it much more complicated, because with option bonuses, sometimes it like automatically guarantees, and so it's basically fully guaranteed, and sometimes it's like... you can cut them and it doesn't count. It's hard.
We love OTC, but they don't. Yeah, they don't get the exact contract, right?
Yeah. I mean, they could save 20.7 by post June 1 in Hargrave. Debo, they'd save like 5.
Do you think they go to Debo and they do the Ayuk juice thing and say, hey, buddy.
You say, hey, do you want to take a pay cut?
You want to take a pay cut, or do you want to get cut? We could also call that the KMBR.
I think they probably just ride it out with Debo for another year.
Yeah. Okay, so now it just comes down to you have to rebuild an offensive and a defensive line through the draft. Those are...
almost exclusively through the draft.
Unless you can absolutely nail a super cheap player.
Yeah, I mean they have Gross Matos and Floyd signed up for another year, which is not getting anyone juices flowing, but that's... their baseline, right? I think Hargrave is a definite cut.
Collins is coming back. Collins has been awful.
I disagree.
I really don't like what I see from him.
I disagree with you. Okay. I've liked
what do you see in here? I see a lot of empty calories.
I mean, they don't really have anyone next to him that's exactly helping. I do think the scheme. He does miss some tackles. I think he's got shorter arms that are tough, and so he's not finishing
that little tackling. T-Rex arms.
I don't know about that. I disagree with you. I think Collins has had a good year, and he's been a bright spot for them on a pretty weak interior. He's also going to cost nothing next year. Yeah, it's just you look down the roster, and there's after that top, there's no depth. It's just they've got the young core, and they've got a bunch of random guys. Sorry to describe them as random guys.
No, they are.
What it
I
is.
Mean, there's a lot of guys. I mean, I was just looking at the 2020 season and the amount of dudes who were on this football team 4 years ago that I could not remember they were starting for that team. And it's just like, sorry, man. I I don't know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where it's at. You got to build through the draft and do this thing a little bit like with the Rams and just sort of reboot while not fully rebooting, because you still got your guys, but they're all old and getting older.
Saquon went for 302 tonight.
Did he really? I turned it off and it was like a 30
touches for 302 yards.
God.
Holy shit.
If Joe, I know someone joked about Shane being fired, but he's gone. They're both, they gotta, you know what they should do is they should burn both New York, they're in New Jersey teams, to the ground. Oh my God. Saquon is disgusting. The Eagles are back, even though I still don't like what Hurts is, or
I have a very hard time buying into them in the playoffs, but they might just win out of spite.
255 yards. Actually,
wow. With 47 and in the air
receiving. Yeah.
And that defense is cooking.
He is.
I kept telling you about N'Kobe Dean, man. N'Kobe Dean.
Oh, I know about N'Kobe Dean.
My God. Quinyon Mitchell is as good as it gets right now. Cooper DeJean is really playing that job, that nickel slot well.
The Eagles got killed.
You know
last
who had two tackles today for the Eagles? Oren Burks.
Nice.
Niners legend. Holy shit.
Yeah, Niners just, you got to reboot the thing. It's not that you burn it all to the ground, but you cut what you can that's aging, and you try and get younger next year. You try and rebuild your fronts on either side and, get a skill position player.
I think I legitimately think it's doable. It's just really difficult.
I agree. Right?
And I look forward to the exercise. I think it will be fun.
I think they could be in great shape in 2 years.
Well, and so this is the other question. I was asked this by Larry Kruger the other night. Like, when does the clock start ticking on Kyle in earnest? Right? We're not doing the whole, he's got to go, this and that. Like, I want to make sure that we're clear on this. 2021, the draft that followed the disastrous 2020 season, they went out and did one of the worst trades in NFL history. Okay, I'll cop to it. I wasn't the biggest fan of the initial trade. Thought it was aggressive to just get to third. Like, go all the way.
The thesis of it was pretty stupid.
Right, but then you have it. And I said, take Trey Lance. If the choice was Mac Jones or Trey Lance, take Trey Lance. I had no problem.
And then they hurt us, and they did not take Mac.
Yeah. And then we watched Trey Lance in a couple practices, and we're like, oh, okay, there's some stuff to work on, but you see the talent, he seems like he's, big body.
Yeah. And there were moments where it was sick, where it was actually sick.
And then you watch him in the third preseason game run, and you go, oh no, he's slow. And you go, it might speed up. Meanwhile, you watch, Anthony Richardson, who is of the ilk, right? Like, everyone's just looking for their Josh Allen. Anthony Richardson can't throw a football worth ass, but my God, when he runs it.
He can.
He can throw it 90 yards over their mountains.
Correct.
It's in there.
COVID broke everyone, especially them.
Okay, so there's some deference involved there, and there's obviously some culpability on our end.
Come on.
There's no way he said that. And by the way,
I'll look it up. You keep talking.
By the way, technically speaking, there is something to be said for where the Niners are positionally. Like, what? They're now a game. Well, I don't know what the tiebreaker would be with the Seahawks.
David, it's wide open.
Who watches this football team and thinks that they're doing anything? Like, what? This is, and I've written this now way too many times. I'll just say it. I'll say this. I can't take you seriously if you are suggesting that there is another gear, some deep, unbeforeseen level of competence, at least in 2024 with this football team. The arrow is pointing directly down they're getting worse by the week. The one game they've won in the second half was a game they probably would have lost under any other circumstances. Okay, so like, when was their last impressive win? Seattle on Thursday Night Football, a game they almost choked away? Was it the Jets, Jake? Was it the Jets? I like David as a person. David has his way of doing business. We do business in a different way, in that we're not going to lie to you directly to your face, and we definitely aren't drinking Kool-Aid. When the Niners are good, I'm sure that he'll do much better numbers. I guess this is our time now, Jake. But in the meantime,
how can you possibly believe this? I'm just saying, the idea that they are in the driver's seat for anything. This is a team flailing around that is, sure, could perpetually do something, right? If it ever, it's not going to. They're older. They don't have the depth to support it. They're not being well coached in some key areas, clearly, because they're having truly, truly poor penalties. I don't know how you can look at this team and see any.
This is the car they're in the driver's seat of.
That's pretty sick. Did they just get out and launch it?
It was a 4th of July celebration in Glacier View, Alaska.
You know, America still has some things that work, and it's stuff like
that. Still got it, baby. We still got it. That guy's just rocking a Ford Explorer off a 300-foot cliff. That's what we got.
Listen, if this team comes out and they beat the Bills, I have no agenda. I would love for them to play a good game that we can break down and say, look at this great thing they did, right?
Because you think this is fun? We would love to talk about good football. We're excited for the draft because we get to watch cool players do cool stuff.
You know what?
We pine for the coolness.
You know, it was cool what the Green Bay Packers did to the 49ers, the way they ran it down their throat because they knew what their defensive line does. And they said, DeVondre Campbell's got very little left. We're going to get him spinning around, and we're just going to run Josh Jacobs up the middle and gash you into oblivion. And guess what? It's going to work every goddamn play.
Imagine if they didn't have a slapdick of a quarterback, how awesome they would be. Like,
also,
and yeah, by the way, that slapdick quarterback might just win the NFC because he's also got just an absolute hose.
He's just standing around back there trying to throw it 75 yards.
All you needed to know about how much of a blowout this game was the Packers get the ball on what should have been the final possession of the first half. And they're like, you know what? Let's do some cool shit. Bomb it three times. And they had a touchdown. Yeah. Watson just dropped the touchdown. Yeah. And then they're like, that didn't work. That didn't work. Instead of like setting up a field goal or just running out the half in a game we're already winning, let's do that shit again because that was cool. Yeah. And they did it three times.
Just keep launching.
And the Niners got the ball back. Like they did it three times in a row. It was awesome.
As I say about Lucille, absolutely launching. That's what they're doing. I mean,
that's how unfazed they were by the 49ers. They're like, you want to do some cool shit? Like, it won't matter. So, like, let's just do some cool shit. That's Jordan Love. That's Jordan Love's mantra. So I'm in on it. It is what it is. They had the touchdown. I feel bad for Watson. He had that touchdown, hit him in both hands. Didn't even have the dignity to Debo it and let it go through both hands.
I don't know what else more to say about this.
Can we talk team? McCaffrey for a second?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm very well on the record. I think you're in agreement with me. There is no juice left in the caboose. It's there. I actually saw a couple runs today that were encouraging. But the game script was fucked from the jump. And Brandon Allen isn't, I thought he actually looked okay, all things considered. What'd you see?
Yeah. I thought McCaffrey, he got it going a little bit. I did see more juice in this game from him than in the past, too. I will say he looked better. And there were a couple times that they maybe could have gotten to him. That deep ball to Conley, I didn't disagree with. Throw it all, but McCaffrey might have taken that about 50 yards because he was one-on-one, and that whole left side was wide open on that play. But again, Yeah, there's plenty of stuff out there. There's McCaffrey looked better, and there's chances where he can take it. It's I don't know, man. I'm repeating myself because I'm so exhausted with this team, and I'd love for them to show me something different. So I would love to eat my words and say, oh, yeah, they got a chance to turn it around, and, you know, they have quality, and they just don't. They're just not it.
We're going to take the final 10, maybe 5 minutes here, depending. Lay the questions on us. We're done with comments. Let's do some questions. Love the comments. Keep commenting. And don't get me wrong, but we're just going to keep an eye out for questions. I did see earlier any ideas on next year's DCs. Jeff Ulbrich, good option there. Almost got the job this year.
Yeah.
Brandon Staley.
Damn it, Frederick. Sorry, I'm recovering from that. That's brutal. That's hard to recover from. Ulbrich. I don't know. I gotta scout around the league at defensive coordinators, because defensive coordinators are really interesting, because sometimes you grab them from college. I don't think the 49ers would go that route. They want somebody more established, which is, or at least that's what they did with Steve Wilks, and then that didn't work, and then they went with someone younger. But they also brought in Staley. I think there's a route where they just stick with Staley, you know, and maybe that dynamic with two of them is actually not working.
I don't know what Staley does. And honestly, that's the next time I go, that's going to be my, like, what is Brandon?
The Staley delineation doing? Of labor there is, I'm interested. Also, they've done almost of that 3-4 stuff that they talked up at the start of the season.
They did have Leonard Floyd just stalk the A-gap today. And then they call the timeout because they're like, that's a different look. And the Niners are like, let's do it again. And it actually kind of worked. It ran right over the center. But if I'm Nick Sorensen, I start putting all this on Brandon Staley right now. I start getting real clever real fast.
You know, he's been uncomfortable from the jump with that. Unreal. It's been pretty clear that he's like, yeah, he's done a great job. I'm doing a good job, too. You know, it's a weird
That's almost a direct quote. Like, I'm not kidding. There was points in the preseason where he's like, you know, I think I'm doing a pretty good job. You're like, shut up.
It's a tough dynamic. It's a tough assignment for him, because anything that goes right, like, there's a potential to be attributed. You don't know exactly what the delineation of that labor is. Yeah. I think
his press conferences have gotten really cringy, too.
This whole season's really cringy, Dieter.
Good counterpoint. I think Matt Eberflus would be a great option, because I don't think he'll ever get another head coaching job. That's where you go. Here's a good one. Ian Sharp. Any point in bringing Greenlaw back this season? Unless Greenlaw feels like he needs to play to prove his worth before a contract. No.
He wants to, because he misses. It's also like for him to work so hard and get back and then not play at all. You know, I think that'd be pretty devastating to put in all that work, but also it depends where they're at, which they probably won't be in any playoff position in however many weeks.
I thought Pat O'Donnell had a marvelous game punting.
Marvelous.
And I'm not even joking. I thought he was one of the best players in the game. I thought he was bombing them. I don't know. He had a terrible first game, but I thought he kicked ass. In this game, he was lacing them.
Yeah, he was solid. Offensive line or defensive line in first round, based on how they talk about the positions, I would very strongly bet defensive line, or hell, another wide receiver. Who is to say? But I haven't looked deeply into the offensive line crop, but it would take a pretty dynamic talent for them to go that route. And those dynamic talents tend to come off the board earlier than the 49ers get a chance to take them. And even if they're there, they tend to not take them, because that's their philosophy, is to go get skill position or defensive line.
Yeah. The guy that I'm already almost all the way in on is Nick Scourin, the 280-pound defensive end out of Texas A&M.
Love that. Saw some interesting guys this weekend.
He's really impressive. Mason Graham would be another good option. He's an interior guy, just a big, heavy boy. And then I think Cameron Williams is probably the best tackle in the draft right now. But that is a very early, early statement. There's also the kid on Minnesota that I kind of like. I watched a little bit of that game yesterday. Urisi, something like that.
We'll get the names down. I like Devontae Capehart out of Clemson, partially because it's a sick
what a name. What a name.
I was in on him last year, so. Yeah,
Jalen Walker, Georgia, pretty good. Donovan. Oh, you pointed out Donovan, or was it Donovan Jackson? Did you point him out yesterday? Who did you text me about yesterday?
Name doesn't sound familiar.
Oh, Donovan Jackson.
Oh yeah, it was the Hamilton brother. Oh,
yeah, that's a good one. I like Donovan Jackson, the guard at Ohio State as well.
Yeah,
you know what? Luther Burden, Debo replacement, MIZ.
Yeah, if I was gonna take a shot in the dark for how this thing goes down in the draft, they end up in the range of 10 to 16, somewhere in there, and they take a defensive tackle or a defensive end, and then they, you know, try and double down, and they take like an offensive tackle in round 3, something like that. That just feels like their route.
This is a brilliant, from what I can tell so far, a brilliant defensive line draft. Like, the fact is, I haven't even mentioned Walter Nolan yet. He might be the best defensive lineman in the country. He plays for Ole Miss. I haven't even mentioned.
Folks, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into some draft stuff probably like sooner than later.
5 kids from Georgia. There's like 2 kids from Penn State. There's like 2 guys from Tennessee, South Carolina. Yeah, it's a loaded draft on the lines. So good time. Good time to need guys on the line. Thank you all for joining us. We enjoy doing it live. I need to go put my child down, and you know, we're in the driver's seat here, so just stay with us.
Folks, catch me this week.
Tell them what.
2 to 6 Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on 95.7, and Friday 10 to 2. I'll be on it, and
run that by me one more time here. You're on
2 to 6.
2 to 6 on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Okay. Then you're on
10 to 2 on Friday.
10 to 2 on Friday. Okay. So we're going head to head 3 times.
Hell yeah, baby. That's good shit, folks.
Yeah.
If
any of you have Nielsen meters, why?
Just listen to
both of us at the same time.
Listen to both. That's awesome.
That is so funny. Yeah, I'm on tomorrow 2 to 6, Wednesday 2 to 6, and then Friday from 9 to noon. You want to just give our hosts to each other, and then we just do the show together. Just call it what it was.
I love it. I love that. I think that's a great plan.
All right.
You know.
All right. I hope you die. I'll talk to you later.
I appreciate that. We'll still be doing the pod. You sick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somehow. We have the pod Monday, or Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. We got the pod.
Friday is just going to be talking about how bloated we are, and it's going to be incredible.
Dude, don't even start. This is the, Okay. Bye.
Peace.